Just to finish off before we totally exhaust you, I've got a sort of question here from Natasha Singh, who said, do these blood group diets work? So I guess we can ask this in two sorts of ways. One is, where do different blood groups come from? And B, is there any evidence that eating different diets, if you have a certain blood group, has any kind of physiological evidence that it's any use?
Well, blood groups, of course, are related to the types of antigens, these proteins present on the surface of our red blood cells. And we have, for instance, high concentrations of A blood type in Europe, O in Asia, B in the Mediterranean area, and so forth. And what the problem is that you find lots of geographic heterogeneity in blood types. And so if you go to the Circum-Mediterranean, for instance, you find not only B blood types, but A and AB and O as well. And so the idea of there being sort of pure blood types in any one area is not very good. And perhaps the most important thing is, because of this, these blood type related diets basically are rubbish, because in any given geographic area, there will be people with various blood types that will have shared other aspects of their environmental history. For instance, many people living in Britain today, there will be moderate percentage of A blood type, but also lots of other blood types there, they will have shared a common heritage of agricultural background and eating dairy products and so forth. And let's say if they have O blood type, according to the blood type diet, they should eat a particular type of diet. But in fact, those O's and A's and AB's all descended from similar people with similar farming and dairying backgrounds. And so that recent experience, irregardless of their blood type, is going to be more important to determining what kind of diet they should eat today. So pay attention to where your ancestors lived as opposed to what their blood type is.
Unless you're a vampire bat, of course. Nina, thank you very much. That's Nina Jablonski, who is based at Penn State University, where she's an anthropologist working on skin colour. Well, that's it for this week's Naked Scientists. It remains for me to say a very big thank you to the other people who took part in our programme: Leah Piter, Paul Martin, David Phillips and Lester Davids. And of course to our wonderful production team: Ben Valsler, Mira Senthilingam, Dave Ansell and Diana O'Carroll. Next week, we'll be looking at nature's marvellous materials. We'll be hearing how scientists have borrowed the chemical that means that a bumblebee's wings can flap 500 million times in its lifetime. What they're saying is, well, a human backbone bends about 100 million times in a human lifetime, and the proteins that are needed to do that are roughly similar to the bee. So can we steal from one to repair the other? We'll also be finding out why bamboo, despite being a very old building material, is definitely the building material of the future. If you have any questions on any of that, then do send it to me. Have a great week in the meantime. Chris@nakedscientist.com. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.